heard this story from my mother. When she was in junior high, Kokuri-san was all the rage. It's a form of communicating with the dead that people shouldn't really play around with, apparently. My mother had also tried it when she was at school, but nothing scary had ever happened. But she did say that she saw something strange once. She wasn't an actual participant, so I'm sorry to say I don't know the full details. My mother wasn't a member of any school clubs, so after school she stayed behind with her friends until late. On this day, she was also chatting when someone came running into the classroom. It was another of her friends. "There's something weird going on in the next class," she said. My mum and her friend were curious, so they left the room to go see, and were greeted with a strange sight. The door to the classroom was closed, and although it had a glass section, it was frosted glass, so they couldn't see inside very well. Then several boys suddenly left the room, one by one, making their way to the taps to wash their hands. Not a single one of them said anything. They then returned to the classroom. This continued, over and over. The next day, they asked the boys about what happened, but, with a pale face, they just said, "It's better if you don't know." There's only one thing that was for sure. The boys were playing Kokuri-san in the classroom at the time. As for what happened to them, my mother still doesn't know. But what she took away from the experience was that Kokuri-san wasn't something to be messed around with lightly. Hey guys, I'm your host, Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Koabana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. Have you picked up your copy of Kaihan, Bizarre Crimes That Shook Japan yet? I've been hearing a lot of positive feedback from people who've picked up the book, so thank you very much. If you're looking for something to scratch that itch between episodes, Kaihan is full of very real, very horrifying true stories of crimes and disappearances that have taken place in Japan over the years, so don't miss out. You can grab that on Amazon right now, or find the links directly on koabana.net. For this week's episode, we're looking at one of my favourite topics, forbidden games. When you think of games you shouldn't play, what comes to mind? For me, it's things like Kokuri-san, Hitori Kakurembo, and Hyaku Monogatari. But that's not all. Far from it. And this week, we're going to be looking at people's experiences with all sorts of games you really shouldn't try at home. Not if you value your life, that is. We're running in headfirst this week with a chilling tale of what can go wrong when playing Hyaku Monogatari. If you've never heard of Hyaku Monogatari before, it literally means 100 tales, and it was a popular game during the Edo period, where people take turns to tell 100 scary stories all together. Once all 100 stories are over, a real ghost is said to appear. What will happen to this group of friends when they're done? This one's called Kotatsu Ghost Story. Even now, there are a lot of family homes that treasure the heated kotatsu table when winter rolls around. The blanket placed over the low table and portable brazier creates a barrier between the inside world and the outside. In these borders between worlds, it's easy for the unknown to reside. And so, let me tell you a scary story about a kotatsu. You often hear about how when someone sits under the table, alone, and their legs suddenly brush up against someone else's. Or even worse, your legs start to feel itchy, so you look underneath the blanket, and you lock eyes with a pale-faced ghost. Perhaps you hear a voice, so you look around the room, but nobody is there. You listen closer, and realize that you can hear the voices of several people, but they're all coming from inside the kotatsu. an even rarer story includes putting your legs underneath the table only to find that it's not a portable brassiere type, but has suddenly changed to the type with a heated hole in the ground. The ground is so deep that your feet can't touch the bottom, and finding it strange, you stick your head under the blanket to see, only to realize that it was still the portable brassiere type all along. Today, I'd like to tell you one of these stories. Kei-san was a university student. One day, during the winter of his second year, he went to a friend's apartment to drink. There were three other friends there as well, so including Kei-san, four in total. The perfect number to sit around a kotatsu. They snacked and drank, chatting about this and that, and at some point, the conversation turned to ghost stories. One person would tell a story, and then the next person would begin their own scary tale. Before they knew it, all four had told their own tale.
"I know. Let's play Hyakumonogatari," someone suggested.
It was said that if you told 100 scary stories, a real ghost would appear. They were drunk and worked up, so they started telling their 100 stories. Each of them would have to tell exactly 25 stories each. They started enthusiastically, but by the third round, they were already running out of stories to tell. Kei-san had drunk too much and was starting to nod off, so he missed most of the stories his friends were telling. When he suddenly opened his eyes again, the room was pitch black, and he realized he'd been drooling. Seemed he'd fallen asleep at the kotatsu. He thought everyone else would be asleep as well, and was about to get up, but surprisingly, the game was still going. Looked like they'd turned the lights off to heighten the mood. The person sitting to his right was currently telling his story. How many rounds had they finished by that point? Kei-san thought it would be rude to interrupt the story, so he sat and listened instead.
"So then, I went to the convenience store where I usually get my smokes and they didn't have any. I got a different brand, then grabbed a coffee and the new Jump magazine and was on my way back home when suddenly I felt someone following me from behind. It was a residential area, so there were a few streetlights, but it was late at night, so there was no signs of life anywhere. Each time I went forward, the presence followed me, and when I stopped, it stopped. But whenever I turned around, nothing was there. I got chills and ran towards my apartment, but then the thing behind me started running too. Oh, I can't do this anymore, I thought, so I ran up the stairs towards my apartment and quickly unlocked the door. At that very moment, as though in response to the story, the front door opened. Kei-san thought his heart was going to burst from his chest. Who on earth could be visiting them that late at night? Kei-san stared at the door. Suddenly, the lights turned on. He squinted in the harsh light and saw his three friends standing in the doorway.
"Ah, he's awake! He's awake!"
No way. His three friends were supposed to be sitting around the table, telling stories. He turned back to the kotatsu, and the three figures seemed to disappear like smoke. He was more dumbfounded than scared, like he'd just been witness to an illusion.
"We just went to the convenience store. We brought back some coffee." They entered the living room and handed Kei-san a coffee. His mind struggled to catch up with what was going on. One of them placed a Jump magazine on the kotatsu. It was the same friend who had, apparently, just been telling the story about going to the convenience store.
Oh, but man, it sure was scary.
"Nah, it was just a misunderstanding. I'm telling you, it was real. Someone was following us." Kei-san didn't know what they were getting worked up over, but as he listened, they seemed to be talking about something following them on the dark roads back
from the convenience store. Kaysan's mouth felt sticky. Was your usual cigarette brand sold out, so you had to get a different one? He asked his friend, who had put the Jump magazine down. Huh? How did you know? His friend placed the smokes down on the kotatsu. They really were a different brand to what he was used to seeing. What was going on? What were all these coincidences? Are you okay? His friend who owned the apartment asked, worried about his odd behavior. Kaysan told them exactly what had happened, and when he was done, everyone fell quiet. There was no way for any of them to brush it all off as mere coincidence. But still, nobody could come to a logical, rational answer either. Maybe we shouldn't have said that we'd play Hyakumonogatari. Maybe. On that note, what story did we reach anyway? As Kaysan asked that, the air in the room suddenly changed. The three of them opened their eyes wide and looked at him. That story you just told makes it exactly 100. Huh? The next moment, something unbelievable happened. Something grabbed and pulled his legs beneath the kotatsu with incredible force. He had no time to resist, and Kaysan was sucked beneath the table. It was pitch black. Next thing he knew, he was lying in his own bed at home, no idea what was happening. Had he been teleported? Panicking, he grabbed his phone and sent his friends a message about what had happened the day before. But none of them read it. Annoyed, he got out of bed and slid under the kotatsu blanket. Huh? It was then that he noticed something strange. Kaysan didn't have a kotatsu at home. The strangeness hadn't ended yet. A chill ran down his spine. Yet after that, nothing terrible happened to him, nor did he fall ill. His friends didn't remember much because they drank so much, so they apparently thought he had just gone home. According to them, Kaysan had probably just drank too much and was misremembering what happened. But the kotatsu was definitely something else. Until that day, he didn't have one. No matter how drunk he was, there was no way he picked up a kotatsu on his way home. So where did it come from? Even now, he still doesn't know. Despite the fact it scared him, he didn't throw it away. And apparently, even now, it's still in his room. Galumasanga Koronda is another popular children's game that I played a lot myself when I was a teacher in Japan. It's similar to the English game of statues, where one person faces a wall and everyone else stands a certain distance behind them. The person, it, screams, "Darumasanga koronda." The daruma fell over. And the other players use this opportunity to run forward. Everyone must stop the instant it has finished speaking and turns around. If they're caught moving, they're out. Then it turns back around, says, "Darumasanga koronda," and the process begins again, until everyone is out or until someone successfully reaches them. This is all fine and well, but what if you suddenly find yourself playing with one person too many? That's exactly what happened to the protagonist of this next story. This one's called Darumasanga Koronda. Darumasanga koronda. At the chosen phrase, I turned around. As evening fell, the shrine grounds turned red. Six of us from elementary school stopped by to play on our way home, and for our final game, we decided to play statues. Darumasanga koronda. I called out a little faster this time. Six figures stopped on the spot as I turned around. As the sun set behind them, casting their faces in shadows, I couldn't see them very well. I could only attempt a guess from their silhouettes. I was definitely at a disadvantage here. I turned back to the tree I was using to cover my face. For just a moment, I had sensed something strange. What was it? Daruma Sangha. I started the next turn. This time, I understood exactly what was wrong, like an electrical current running through my body. There was one person too many. When I turned around before, there were six people. Including myself, there should only have been six people. At some point, an extra person had joined. It had to be another classmate who was passing by and decided to join in. That's what I told myself, but in my throat, I felt sick. Koronda! I turned around. Everyone stopped. I counted six figures. There really was one person too many. This time, they were a lot closer to me. As evening approached, it grew harder to tell them apart. It felt like they were closing in on me. I was so scared I wanted nothing more than to run. I wanted to say that I gave up, but my body refused to listen to me and let me say the words. Daruma Sangha Koronda! One shadow was remarkably closer than the others, but I couldn't see their face. After perhaps two more turns, they would reach me. Was it one of my classmates? Before I knew it, I'd broken out in a sweat. Daruma Sangha Koronda! When I turned around, everything was black. The six figures had completely surrounded me. Even though they stood right in front of me, I couldn't make out their faces. But I knew they were all smiling. And not a single one of them was my classmates. Next thing I knew, I was lying on the ground in the forest by the shrine. Seemed I'd passed out. I could hear my classmates calling for me some distance away. I was saved. Tears fell down my cheeks. I later heard that I'd gone missing during hide and seek, and nobody knew where I went. Right on twilight. The witching hour. As evening falls, they say that our world and the other side briefly cross paths. After that, I always made sure to get home before evening fell. Have you ever played hide and seek in a graveyard? There are plenty of places to hide, and it certainly sets the atmosphere. But as this next story goes to show, it's not recommended. Find out why in Hide and Seek in the Graveyard. This happened when I was in the third grade of elementary school. I was playing with some friends from school during the summer holidays, just before Obon, and we decided to play hide and seek in the graveyard behind the temple. I don't remember who first suggested it. Anyway, the graveyard sat on the mountain slope and was surrounded by forest, so there were plenty of places to hide. We played rock, paper, scissors, and Wai-kun was chosen as the seeker. He was the kid I was closest to out of everyone. I decided I wanted to hide as far away as possible. I climbed to the top of the graveyard and hid behind one of the tombstones that caught my attention. Wai-kun stopped counting. Seemed he was looking for us already. I held my breath and nervously waited. The cicadas screamed loudly. Several mosquitoes bit me. I wonder how much time passed Wykun didn't show his face at all. While I was happy I had clearly found a great hiding spot, I also grew worried that nobody had found me yet. The sky gradually grew redder. If they wouldn't find me, then I'd have to go down myself. I walked down the mountain, and everyone was gathered at the graveyard entrance. I couldn't see Wykun anywhere. Apparently, he hadn't gone to find anyone, and they all came out of their hiding spots themselves. Everyone was angry that he had apparently given up and gone home. But the real situation was far more serious than we could have ever imagined. Wykun was missing. Various adults scolded us over and over, telling us that playing hide and seek in the graveyard was cursed. A large-scale search team set out to find Wykun, but they found no sign of him. A few days ago, I visited that graveyard for the first time in decades. I didn't tell my wife about what happened there in the past. I walked up the familiar path, incense and flowers in hand. Various memories of that time flashed in my mind. Then suddenly, it felt like someone grabbed my pants. "Found you!" I turned around, and Wykun stood there, exactly as he looked when he was a child. He smiled, blood pouring out of his eyes, ears, and mouth. If you're feeling down and looking for someone to talk to, but don't have anyone nearby, then BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. With BetterHelp, you can talk to a professional counselor on your own time, at your own pace, in a safe and private online environment. You can schedule secure video and phone sessions when it's convenient for you. Or if you're like me and don't like face-to-face, you can chat or text with your therapist. BetterHelp has licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, and other similar matters. BetterHelp is available worldwide, and you can start talking with someone in under 24 hours. Plus, if you're unhappy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. It's secure, convenient, professional, and financial aid is also available for those who qualify. So why not start today? Coabana listeners can also get 10% off their first month with discount code COABANA. Head over to betterhelp.com/COABANA right now to get started. Kokkuri-san is somewhat similar to the Ouija board, although it has a lot of differences. Players place a 10 yen coin on a piece of paper with the Japanese alphabet, yes, no, and a picture of a shrine gate. After summoning the spirit, which can be any spirit but is usually referred to as Kokkuri-san, and asking it various questions, players ask the spirit to leave and then return the coin to the shrine gate to finish. If you don't return the coin to the shrine gate, then technically the game isn't over, as the protagonist of this next story is about to find out. This one's called 10 Yen Coin. One day, when I got home to my apartment where I lived alone, I got changed and a 10 yen coin rolled out of my pocket. I didn't remember receiving any change that day, so it was strange. But I was a bit of a pig, so chances were good the coin had been in there for a while, and I just hadn't noticed. I picked it up and put it in my piggy bank. A few days later, I took my phone out of my pocket, when yet again, another 10 yen coin dropped out. Maybe I'd put my change from the convenience store in there. I didn't think too much about it. Yet, over the next month, the same thing happened on a weekly basis. So of course, I started to wonder about it. As this kept happening, I finally noticed something. Every single coin was from 1972, and the marks on them were the same as well. They were all the exact same coin, and somehow it kept working its way back into my pocket. There was no other way to put it. It was creepy as hell. "Then I'll just use it," I thought, and even though I wasn't thirsty, I went to a nearby vending machine and bought a drink. I figured that would be that, but the next morning when I got out of bed, the 10 yen coin fell out of my pants again. A chill ran down my spine. It was like the coin was haunting me. Worried, I took the coin to one of my university friends, who could supposedly sense the supernatural. "I think this coin was used to play Kokuri-san," she said. "If you don't send the spirit back, then it remains here." "Why does it keep coming back to me?" "You must have been unlucky enough to pick it up, that's all. Have you ever played Kokuri-san before?" "No." "Then it's just a coincidence." "How do I get rid of it?" "I think if you follow the appropriate steps, you should be able to get the spirit to return." "By the appropriate steps, you mean..." And so, it was decided that I would play Kokuri-san. We stayed in the classroom after the lecture was over, and I drew the shrine gate, yes, no, and the alphabet on a piece of paper. Then we put the coin on top, and both of us placed a finger on it. "Kokuri-san, Kokuri-san, please come here. If you're here, please proceed to yes." I wasn't placing any pressure on the coin, and yet, it moved. "No way. Are you doing that?" "Shh, be serious." The coin moved to yes. "Kokuri-san, thank you. Please return now." The coin dashed over to no. "Kokuri-san, I'm sorry. We no longer need you, so please, return." The coin rapidly circled no on the page. "It's angry. What should we do?" I started to panic. "All we can do is ask. Kokuri-san, what can we do to make you return?" The coin started to move. First to D, then to I, and finally to E. "Die?" I almost burst into tears. "Why? Why me? What did I even do?" The coin moved as though in response to my cries. "You called me," it spelt out. "I did no such thing." "You called me." "Me? When?" Then it hit me, like a flashback. Last summer, a bunch of us gathered at a friend's house for a party. Being summer, someone started reading some scary stories from the internet. We also visited a scary place to test our courage, and once there, started telling each other scary stories one by one. My story was about Kokuri-san. To heighten the mood, I took a 10 yen coin out of my wallet to use as a prop. When I came back to, my friend that had been sitting with me was gone. She'd fled. My finger rested on the coin as it seemed to dance around the same three letters, over and over. D. I. E. Another common Japanese game you shouldn't play is called Kagami Awase, or Opposing Mirrors. This is also called Infinity Mirror in English, and happens when you place two mirrors facing each other, meaning they, and what's reflected in them, go on forever. And sometimes, you might just see something that you shouldn't. This story's called Opposing Mirrors. There's a game called Opposing Mirrors, right? You place two mirrors so they're facing each other. Each reflects the other. Inside the mirror is another mirror, inside which is another mirror, etc., etc. This goes on forever. If you stand in front of it, you can only see yourself once, but to anyone else looking from the outside, they can see countless versions of you. Opposing mirrors are known to be extremely unlucky. When I was a kid, my parents took me for a drive. I was excited to get in, but once the drive started, I was bored, so I fell asleep. When we arrived at the parking area, I really needed to pee, so I asked to go to the toilet. My older sister took me with her. The toilets were extremely old and run down. Not to mention they were dirty, stank, and weren't very comfortable. And on top of that, they had opposing mirrors. At the time, I wasn't aware that opposing mirrors were supposed to be bad luck. I just remember thinking that they were creepy. When I was done in the toilet and went to wash my hands, of course I looked up into the opposing mirrors. But it was just a mirror. So when I was done washing my hands, I waited for my sister. Maybe it was because it was dark, or maybe the mirror itself was black, but it looked like a dark shadow was reflected in it. I continued to look at it while I waited for my sister. I couldn't see it very well, but the longer I looked at it, the more I came to see what it was. I was only tiny, so I pushed myself up onto the counter to see better. Then, finally, I understood. It was a face. It was dim, so I couldn't say for certain, but it felt like there was nothing else it could have been. It was a face. Shocked, I jumped down, tumbling as I tried to run away. Because there were opposing mirrors, when I turned around, there was yet another mirror. The face was also reflected in that one, and in the next mirror, and in the next one, and in the next one, on and on. My sister stared at me dumbfounded when she finally came out of the toilets and found me crying outside. Did you ever have a secret hideout as a kid? One of the schools I worked at sat at the bottom of a small mountain, and the older kids often climbed it during lunchtime. I spent some time exploring there myself, and once came across an abandoned building that, judging by the calendars inside, hadn't been touched for several decades. The basement was flooded with water, and everything upstairs hadn't been touched. It was like whoever had been using it just up and left one day and never came back. I always wondered what happened there. Sadly, I never found out. The kids in this next story also stumble across a cabin in the woods, and they come up with a secret knock to let each other in. But when one of the boys apparently forgets the secret knock, things quickly go from confusing to downright terrifying. This one's called Secret Sign. There are probably a lot of people who made secret hideouts when they were younger. For me, I had a cabin in the nearby mountains. When I was in the fourth grade, I was playing with my classmates A-kun and B-kun when we stumbled across an abandoned mountain hut. It was covered in spiderwebs, and it kinda looked like a dungeon you might find in a video game. Maybe someone had lived there in the past. It was made of wood, and there was a table and other furniture inside. Most of it was broken and unusable, but we were excited to have found a secret hideout we could use. After that, we spent most of our time after school at the secret hideout. We'd lay out a sheet and read comics while eating snacks. It was in an extremely comfy space. We wanted to keep it as our little secret. Not our classmates, nor any adults were allowed to know about it. We went to the home center and bought a lock to keep it shut. Whoever was going to the cabin first would be the one to take the key and unlock it. Then whoever came afterwards would have to give a sign, and whoever was on the inside would unlock the door for them. The sign was simple. We just had to knock on the door. Bang, bang. Bang. Bang, bang, bang. Knock twice, once, then three times. That was it. On this particular day, A-kun and myself reached the secret hideout first. We read comics and played cards inside. B-kun was supposed to meet up with us once the committee meeting was finished at school. Before long, we heard a knock. It was B-kun. I stood up to open the door, but then A-kun grabbed my arm and stopped me. The sign was different. Come to think of it, he'd only knocked three times. Hey, open up! I could hear B-kun's voice coming from the other side. See? It is him. But the sign is wrong. Something's wrong. B was the one who said we should come up with a sign in the first place. But he might be with someone, so this is his sign not to open up, A-kun said. Yeah, that was certainly possible, I thought. B-kun continued with the wrong sign. Open up! A-kun and I tried not to pay much attention, but he wouldn't stop knocking. Why won't you open up? It didn't seem like he was going to stop. Maybe it really was him on the other side, but he'd just forgotten about the signs to get in. I thought about opening the door for him numerous times, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Something felt off. Open up! I'd never heard him sound so angry before. He started punching and kicking the door. After that, the knock stopped. Seemed like he'd left. A-kun and I opened the door and peeked outside. Neither B-kun nor anybody else was there. We quickly left the cabin and made our way towards B-kun's house. We ran into his mother just as she was getting ready to go out. Apparently B-kun had suddenly broken out into a fever at school. One of the teachers had taken him to the hospital and she was on her way there. Chills ran down my spine. It wasn't B-kun who knocked on the door. No wonder they didn't know what the sign was. So then, who on earth was it? Thank God we didn't open the door. I don't think we should use that cabin anymore. Yeah, I think so too. With that, we went our separate ways. The sun was setting as I got home. My mother was still at work and hadn't come home yet. I put my bag down in the living room and took a bottle of tea out of the fridge. I was exhausted. I lay on the couch and tried to fall asleep. At that moment, something knocked on the front door. Whoever it was should have just used the intercom, but there were occasionally people who didn't use it. Maybe it was someone from the neighborhood with a notice to pass around. I got up and made my way towards the door when I suddenly realized something. The knocks. Bang, bang. Bang. Bang, bang, bang. Twice. once, three times. It was our secret sign. Why? My head was full of questions. There was no way it was a coincidence. Maybe whoever had impersonated Bikun at the cabin had followed me home? That was what I felt. I could see a dark figure on the other side of the frosted glass door. I panicked and called Akun's house. After a few rings, someone picked up. Hello? Akun? What? It was Akun's voice, but I couldn't believe my ears. What? 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 Twice. Once. And then three times. Open the door. That was as much as I remembered. When I came back to, I was lying on the couch. I later heard that whatever it was had visited Akun's house as well. Maybe it was a yokai who lived in the mountains. Even now, we still don't know. This final story features a young bully who just can't help himself. He drags the protagonist into all his twisted games, despite his protests. But sometimes, childhood games can be taken a little too far, and sometimes the results may be unexpected. Find out what happens in Hole. I had a classmate in elementary school by the name of Okun. He was a bit twisted and enjoyed bullying animals. He threatened me not to tell anyone, so I stayed silent. We kept several rabbits at school, and he poked them numerous times with thumbtacks. I still remember the sight of them jumping around after he did it. Okun came from a troubled home, which may have affected his heart, but in my opinion, that didn't excuse him torturing animals and, I think, didn't have anything to do with it in the first place. To be entirely honest with you, I hated Okun, but he always forced me to play with him. I also came from a single-parent household, so he probably felt close to me because of that. One day, after school, Okun dragged me to a place about a 20-minute walk from school called Mount Taira. Its official name was different, but the locals called it Mount Taira, or Mount Otaira. It was only a few hundred meters tall, so even children could reach the top in about an hour. Kids in the area loved playing there. It was their favorite spot. And if we were going there, it was to do just one thing. Okun wanted to find bugs and insects to pull their wings off or throw rocks at them. Even as a kid, watching Okun chase after them tirelessly and having fun while doing it just made me think he wasn't right in the head. Hey! Look at this! Okun yelled out from behind some bushes. I pushed through them towards him, and he was squatting on the ground. I followed his gaze and saw a hole about 5 centimeters large in the ground. Looked like a mole or snake's nest. I wonder what'll happen if I pour water down it. I got chills as soon as I realized what Okun was thinking. He ran back down to the bottom of the mountain, picked up some empty 2-liter bottles from the recycling station, filled them with water at the park, and then carried them back up to the hole. Smiling, he cheerfully started pouring water down the hole. If there was something alive in there, it was going to drown. How sad. I prayed for whatever might be inside and apologized in Okun's stead. A few days later, Okun went missing. He hadn't returned home by midnight, and reports soon came in that nobody could find him anywhere. The police sent out search parties, and the following morning it appeared on the local news as well. Nobody knew whether he'd been kidnapped or run away, but just like that, he was gone. I hated Okun, but I was also worried about him. I wanted him to return safely. I wondered if there was anything I could do to help, so I decided to look around the places we used to play. Maybe, just maybe, I might find him, I thought. I arrived at the hole on Mount Taira after searching several other places. I didn't think he would be hiding in the uncovered bushes, but I checked anyway. Of course, he wasn't there. I was about to leave when something stopped me. It sounded like Okun's voice, soft but audible. I froze on the spot. Through the sound of rustling leaves, I heard it again. I looked around, but I couldn't see him anywhere. I called out his name, but there was no response. I waited, and before long, I heard it again. Listening closer, I searched for where it was coming from. It sounded like it was coming from the ground. No way. I looked down at the 5-centimeter hole in the ground. It was the hole Okun had poured all the water into. I put my hands on the ground and nervously placed my ear to the hole. Help me. No doubt about it, it was Okun's voice. There was no way a human could fit inside such a tiny hole, and yet his voice was coming from inside it. I shivered in fear and ran screaming back down the mountain. I told my teacher at school about it. I knew they wouldn't believe me, but I couldn't stay quiet about it either. Of course, my teacher was worried about the effect losing a classmate might have on me, and they didn't believe my story, let alone go and dig up the hole. Even now, we still don't know where Ikun is. If you haven't picked it up yet, don't forget to grab Kaihan, Bizarre Crimes That Shook Japan, available on Amazon right now. You can also get more than 70 bonus episodes of Koabunna right now on our Patreon and help support the show. You can find those at patreon.com/TaraADevlin. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you again next time for even more Koabunna, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet.
Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabunna.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabunna.net now.